tall, almost 6'4", and I can walk in these spaces and not feel claustrophobic. They're huge. They're like subway stations, modern cities. And what I'm talking about are lights, telecommunications, rail, hospitals, food systems, ventilation systems, sanitation, offices, living quarters, theaters, chapels, synagogues, the works. I mean, some of these places are so big, there are street signs. And so what is so hard for us to get our arms around as modern people is that there would be something like this that could exist and not be on the internet, not be known. And yet it exists.
This is just totally fascinating stuff. And the visuals, which you can see on the web, are just amazing. But you say it also brings a sense of immediacy to something that does seem like a very long time ago.
World War I is remembered through old photographs and silent films, which make it seem ancient. And yet these were modern people fighting a modern war. There's just stuff everywhere. I mean, when the war ended, they wanted to go home. And so they left, uniforms and helmets, and there's live munitions everywhere, hand grenades and live shells and bullets, and there are cooking implements and clocks, and you just find tons of stuff.
And people didn't just leave their stuff. They also left their marks on the walls of the quarries.
On the walls of these cities, you see the inner life of these soldiers. You see expressions of their humanity. You see notes to loved ones and prayers, to a higher power. And you see, the emotion of missing home. And you see the love of America. And you see jokes. And you see sports scores. For example, the Red Sox were on a winning streak in 1918. And as we know now, the next year was the beginning of the curse of the Bambino, and they wouldn't win until modern times again. But these guys didn't know that. So in big, bold letters under a French farm field, the one I was visiting 2 weeks ago, you see Red Sox 7, Yanks 4. And that was a real game. And they were so proud of it.
That is fantastic. Another thing, though, that you found on the walls were symbols that you could not identify. You eventually determined they were made by members of the Passamaquoddy tribe from Maine. You knew there were 6 Passamaquoddy troops from Maine who'd served and been in the quarries, but the connection was not initially completely clear. How did you find out?
One of my team, who has proved to be an invaluable part of this project, Lieutenant Jonathan Bratton, who's the chief historian for the Maine National Guard, really smart guy. He knew that there were 9 Passamaquoddy young men who volunteered the week after we declared war, even though they were not citizens. They couldn't vote. They didn't have the same property rights. There were a whole list of things that they could not do because they weren't American citizens. But they loved America. They were devoted to their country. And this is at a time before the GI Bill, before all the benefits of being a serviceman. And so when he found out they were down there, he went up to the reservation in Point Pleasant, Maine, on the coast. And he wanted to find out if there were any families that he could talk to that had sons amongst this group that volunteered. And so he was talking to the tribal historian, and he just happened to have some of my photographs on his iPad. And he showed them to the tribal historian, and he was seeing something that none of us were seeing. Ancient tribal symbols dating back thousands of years that stood for peace and friendship. Maybe 4 or 5 of Native American carvings that, in fact, are Passamaquoddy, and we know that because of the symbols that they carved that were distinctly Passamaquoddy.
Jeff Guskey, thanks so much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, and I also want to thank the people of Maine.